And welcome back to Steel and Hunger. If you're just joining, welcome. You've missed an interesting show tonight. We're glad you're finally with us. Here's an interesting little detail that arose today. The National Association of Manufacturers did a study that discovered that American manufacturers are subject to, get this, 300,000 regulations.
Whoa.
To which I asked the question, what do you think, too much? That's somewhat extraordinary. Well, I certainly want to know more about this and what that actually means. And to help us, we are joined by Drew Greenblatt, who is the chairman of Small and Medium Manufacturers Group at the National Association of Manufacturers. In his spare time, he is the CEO of Marlin Steel. Drew, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, Drew.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for inviting me.
Good to have you. You know, Drew, I especially wanted to have somebody on who deals in the area of small and medium manufacturers because, you know, I've had an ongoing discussion with our audience because I've been a small business owner, not a manufacturer, for years. I owned a number of small businesses, and I never really felt that regulation has been particularly burdensome to me. And every time I pose that, I do get a lot of calls here from people who are involved in small business who make the case that, no, I'm really having to suffer a little bit here because of regulation. Now, I can only imagine how that works for a small manufacturer. Let's begin by this. Of those 300,000, how many of them would you imagine are actually burdensome?
Well, I would think most of them. You know, we need regulations. Regulations are very important. We have to have clean water. We have to have clean air. We have to protect our workers' safety. So those things are obvious, and we're all...
Well, let me interrupt you if you don't mind. I apologize. But let's take those three, because I think we'd all agree. Those are the important ones. Of those 300,000, and I'm not trying to pin you down. I'm sure you don't know the exact number. But roughly what percentage of those are aimed at the three things you just said?
A small percentage. I mean,
really?
I would say less than 10% or 15%.
Really?
I think the vast majority of regulations now are burdensome. You know, it's pushing paper. It's not helping get our factory is very close to the Chesapeake Bay, and I
we're back to the Chesapeake Bay again.
I eat crabs out of the Chesapeake, and I want that water to be sparkling clean. So the key here is developing regulations that make sense, that are balanced, so that we have a community that has a healthy environment, but also can compete with other countries. So we can hire more people, we can grow our companies so that we can give better wages, offer better benefits. If we are socked with all kinds of silly paperwork, then what happens is that we have to hire smart people, not to, you know, engineer better wire baskets that we're going to export all over the world, or come up with clever marketing campaigns, or do neat R&D. Instead, we're diverting our precious resources into things that make add no value.
Is that paperwork designed to report to whoever the relevant agency is that you are doing the things you're supposed to be doing? Is that why they make you do all the paperwork?
Yeah, I mean, many times there'll be paperwork that's redundant where they'll ask many different ways the same question. And the other problem is the paperwork is written in such a poor way that you can't just have a modestly paid person do it. You have to have a very highly paid person because it's so poorly written you can't even understand it. And once you fill out the paperwork, if you make a mistake, we're all humans, you can get a huge fine. And a lot of companies are living in fear of, you know, not either, you know, submitting it on time or filling it out properly. Let me give you an example, right? So we make metal baskets, wire baskets for factories. We export them all over the world. We make them all in Baltimore. Many of our clients are S&P 500 companies, and they have to report to Sarbanes-Oxley. They have to do 10-K reports for their, the SEC reports. Well, one of the new things is they have to report how much of their product is made, using diamonds from countries in Africa and other minerals for these African countries. Well, so they ask us to fill out very detailed reports describing how, you know, what is the percentage of our content of our diamonds and some of these materials that we're buying from countries overseas in war-torn countries that may be doing terrible things to their people. The problem is we don't use those materials at all, right? Right. But we have to fill out the forms
just
for
to
all
say
these
you don't use them.
Companies. And even though we never use those materials ever. And every single company that we sell to has a different way of laying it out so they can comply for their SEC forms and their Sarbanes-Oxley. So I'm a little company, and we have to have a very smart person fill all these forms out. If we don't do it, we don't get the job. We won't get orders. So we have to comply with it. And if we don't do it, we won't get the big job. But all of us are filling out this paperwork, and nobody in my industry uses these kinds of materials. So this is just an example of burdensome, onerous regulations coming out of Washington, and there's a total disconnect. Is this going to make the water cleaner in the Chesapeake Bay? No. Is this going to make the air cleaner in L.A. and reduce our smog? No. So why do we have these rules? We got to be reasonable and balanced in our approach, and if we do that, we're going to be able to hire more talent, grow wages, have new marketing campaigns. These are the good things for America, and this is what we desperately need in this economy.
Drew, it's Rick Tyler. One of the things that I think you pointed out, and I think it's key that our listeners understand and people understand about manufacturing is what you described, is you're taking resources away from, and ultimately it ends up being innovation, right? And models of efficiency, hiring people to create a better product or more products or different products, and instead we're filling out paperwork for reports that probably are never really even read.
Exactly. Let me give you an example.
Yeah, sure.
The NAM, National Association of Manufacturers, we have 14,000 manufacturing members. They did an analysis that the average small manufacturer is paying over $38,000 per year per employee to fill out all that paperwork and comply with all the government regulations. $38,000 per employee. You know, my position is I'd rather pay our employees better, or I'd rather give them better benefits, or I'd rather build a new machine or buy a new machine so that we can offer new services to our clients, mm-hmm. so we're more indispensable to our clients, and that improves our job security for our employees. This is the kind of way we should be targeting our precious resources rather than pushing paper so that somebody in Washington puts it in a filing cabinet and never reads it, like you just said.
And the other
Let
part
me give
of
you another example.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me give you another example. We have we offer a 401k at our factory. And years ago, in 2011, I was told I had to fill out some forms for our 401k. There was 3 pages out of like 30 pages that I was supposed to put my John Hancock on. I did it. We submitted it. About 2 years later, we got a letter in the mail with a $15,000 fine because there was a fourth place, I forgot to sign my name.
Oh, geez.
Okay? Now, we did nothing wrong, and we were taking care of our employees. We were matching our 401k for their benefit, right? There was no malfeasance with the money. There was no money being moved around. It was just the fourth place I forgot to sign, or you know, I didn't, you know, I'm a busy guy, and I forgot to sign one place. We got a $15,000 fine. So we had to spend many hours trying to get ourselves out of paying that fine. And it's just not productive. It didn't add any value. I mean, we're competing vigorously with Mexico and China and Canada and Germany. It's tough out there. And then for us to be, you know, taking precious resources to fight, you know, because we signed 3 out of the 4 places, it's just not part of our mission. We should be focused on new marketing, new R&D, new, you know, trying to hustle new accounts so we can grow and hire more people.
You know, I got to tell you, Drew, I do have sympathy, very much so, for the points that you're making. I am somebody who does believe that business does need to be regulated in certain areas to protect people. That's the primary thing, whether they're workers, whether it's in the environment. You know, look, unfortunately, not all businesses behave honestly. While most do, though, some don't. And I don't want what my family's eating to be filled with bad things that might go in there to extend the profit margin. But, you know, I hear so much of the things that you're talking about. And I don't think that your typical American understands that when we talk about some of the onerous regulations, I think the first instinct is, oh, you just don't like it because you don't want to have to do this or that to protect the public. And no, that's not it. It's the nonsense that you're talking about. How do you get that message across to people that this doesn't have to be?
Well, I think right now we can look at things with a fresh set of eyes now, and we should say, listen, let's just have common sense. If it's not adding value, if it's not improving the air, if it's not improving the water, if it's not protecting employees from, you know, an unsafe practice, okay, then you know, what's really the purpose? What's the benefit? And in many cases, you know, I think we can get away with 10 or 20% less regulations, and there would not be, you know, any air cleaner, any water cleaner, any employee protected safety-wise. So let's start doing it, because if we can have less paper, we're going to have more trees, and we're going to have companies thriving in America. You know, we have a unique opportunity right now. Because it appears we're going to be having tax reform soon, so we're going to be more competitive with other countries. It looks like we're going to have other changes in the systems so that maybe we could have a spark and create this wonderful American manufacturing renaissance that our country desperately needs. You know, the average American manufacturer is paid $77,000 a year, the average employee at a factory. It's a stunning amount of money. So we got to figure out ways so we can get this industry really thriving and unleash us so we can start hiring more people, because we desperately need that in our inner cities. We need these jobs in our cities and to make the middle class thrive again.
And Mexico and China do not have the regulations that we have, and they particularly don't have the safety regulations and the environmental protection regulations. So when you drive companies offshore into those different areas of the world, you're actually hurting the environment, you're actually hurting workers' safety overall, and all of these regulations and the paperwork, that's all backward looking, and our guys like you need to be inventing the future, or somebody else will, and we'll get our clock cleaned.
Check this one out. You're going to love this anecdote. So we make, again, wire baskets and racks, and a lot of times we need to chrome plate it. Well, the EPA has reduced the number of chrome plating companies in the Mid-Atlantic so much so that I can't get my chrome plating done in Maryland anymore, because there are no companies that exist. So I have to ship my products to Queens, New York, okay? And in Queens, they plate our baskets. It's gotten so crazy that when the EPA tests our chrome plating entity, they use very specific research and scientific tools to sort it out and figure out how much chrome is in the effluent. And there is such a small amount that, for giggles, one day, and now they do this all the time, they test how much chrome is in the tap water that comes in that you drink.
Right.
And there's more chrome in the tap water than there is in the effluent.
Unbelievable.
So the point is that that's not happening over in China. I mean, in the Yangtze River, they just dump it right into the river.
Yep.
Okay? In America, literally the effluent is cleaner than the than the incoming water that we drink every day. So this is you know, the kind of standards that American companies are using now. And they're being very honorable. Now, I know there's a couple bad cases that people can point out every year. And, of course, when you have so many companies, you know, sometimes people do things the wrong way. But in general, people are very dutiful. People want clean air. People want clean water. And they're working hard to make it happen. But it's just the silly paperwork that adds no value that we got to minimize.
So we're talking with Drew Green.
Now the unique opportunity. We have a new administration. We could look at things with fresh eyes. You know, 87% of American factories say that if we could reduce this burden, you know, go from 297,000 to a smaller number, they're going to hire more people, they're going to increase salaries, they're going to have more R&D, and they're going to get more tools for their employees. And these are things that our country desperately needs right now. And again, it'll create a surge of hiring and a surge of job growth if we can make this happen.
So we're talking with Drew Greenblatt, who is the chairman of the Small and Medium Manufacturers Group at the National Association of Manufacturers. Drew, I really want to know if you guys have spent time on how you're going to reverse engineer this. You know, it's really easy to pass regulations. I always say there's probably never been a regulator who got hired to come in to regulate a particular situation. And when they were finished, they walked into their boss's office and said, well, I'm finished regulating that. I'm going to leave now. And in order to stay, they've got to find more things to regulate. Easy to pile on regulations. My question is, how do you unpile on regulations? How do you go about this Herculean task of going through regulations going, nah, this is really dumb. Let's get rid of it.
Well, here's two quick ideas. The first one is something called sunsetting. And what that means is that every regulation sunsets, goes away after a certain number of years. And then the idea is that in a couple years, when that regulation's about to be released and extinguished, we relook at it and say, you know what, does this even matter anymore? I mean, like, there's probably regulations on the books right now for buggy whips. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, at a certain point, regulations should get unwound and go away and be sunset. And so I recommend that as one way to start purging out silliness. Because if it's not important, it's not germane anymore, nobody's going to get behind it and say, no, we really desperately need to keep that law in the books,
right,
or that regulation in the books. The second thing is, you know, right now we study any regulation that has an impact of over $100 million has to have, you know, an analysis of the benefit, the cost and the benefit of the regulation. You know, I think they should lower that to $1 million. You know, if we could get that kind of analysis down to $1 million, then it's, you know, you have to build the case for many more regulations. There's a lot of paperwork behind the scenes that's not just being properly assessed. And now's the time to kind of relook at how we judge a regulation, whether or not it's beneficial.
Well, it's interesting that you hit on that approach, because my own suggestion is, if you take all the regulators, and I do understand that that regulations that have a certain economic impact are supposed to be reviewed. Take all those regulators, lower the amount of money, as you suggest. And that doesn't mean the regulations automatically go away. It means they get reviewed. Take all those regulators who want to keep regulating so they have a job, and switch them over to regulation review, and watch how fast some of these regulations that don't mean much begin to vanish.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's wonderful. Look, these regulators in general are wonderful civil servants that are trying to do good for our nation. And this is not an anti-government worker initiative here. This is a, hey, let's just try to be reasonable so that our American worker has a shot at competing against very formidable competitive adversaries like Germany, or like Brazil, or like Mexico, Canada. I mean, there's some wonderfully well-run companies overseas. And we got to make it so that it makes more sense every time to build in America.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a level playing field so that our employees can compete with anybody in the world. Now, again, I don't want to have dirty water, okay, but I do want to make sure that our employees are as competitive as any others in the world so that we could grow. You know, we talked about how I'm right now the chairman of the – I have the privilege of being the chairman of the small and medium-sized manufacturers. You know, if we get this right, all the small companies will become medium-sized companies,
right,
and all the medium-sized companies will become big ones. That's our goal, so they hire more people. They raise wages. Let's stop spending money on pushing paper. Nobody gets value out of that.
See, Drew, I think that's the way to present it. I think if Americans come to understand that when we talk about reducing regulation, we're not talking about, at least I'm certainly not talking about, reducing regulation that protects human beings, that protects their water, that protects their air, that protects their work environment, that protects the food they eat, all those things that we want to be protected. You don't have to touch those. And you can, by getting rid of the silly stuff, and you've given us great examples of the silly stuff, you can have this very positive impact on business. Drew Greenblatt, chairman of the Small and Medium Manufacturers Group over at the National Association of Manufacturers. Fun talking to you, man. Thanks for
Drew.
Coming on.
Thank you.